أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة and reply is given says
accepted for your religion and completed my favor on you and has chosen for you al-Islam Deen. That is Islam to be the religion. Raditu. God says Raditu. He has preferred. Preferred to what? All other religions. He has preferred this religion of Islam over all other religions. That it is the religion that God has chosen. It is God's choice for human beings, or for man. It was necessary that the religion be perfected because the forms of religion that were practiced were impure. They had become impure after the preachings of the prophets. So that religion had to be perfected. So God says, I have perfected for you your religion this day. And it was a promise to the people of the book. And also to the hearts of the faithful. It was their expectation and therefore an indirect promise to them from God that he would favor them with religion that would not burden them but would serve their needs and lighten their hearts and bring them happiness. And God says that he has completed his favor upon you. And I have completed my favor on you. On you meaning the Muslims. Many people, many communities have been blessed with messengers of God. In fact, Allah says in the Quran, there never was a people that did not receive a messenger from God. Or a community that did not receive a messenger of God. Ummah, a community. All the communities on this earth have been given an inspired man from God at one time or another. And God says here that he has perfected for you, lakum, meaning the Muslims, those who received the call to the revelation of God and obedience to him from Prophet Muhammad and became Muslims, and those who have been receiving that invitation since then and becoming Muslims, and have become, joining the ranks of the Muslims. It is those people. It is us, the Muslims, that God speaks of when he says, I have completed for you, for my favor on you. I have completed my favor on you. Allah says in the Quran that he favors the Jews. And after them, he favored the Christians. And then he completed his favor on the Muslims. He favors the Muslims. The Muslim community is the favored community of God. Not the Jews, not the Christians, not any other religious community. It is the Muslim community that is the favored community of God. And God holds us responsible to be witnesses. The messenger of God, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, he is a witness against us, for and against us. If we behave correctly as Muslims, he's a witness for us that we are Muslims, that we are living our religion in the right way. But if we do not, then he is a witness against us that we are not living our religion in the right way. The Sunnah of the Prophet is here to keep this religion to form, revealed it as revelation, but he formed it in the life of Muhammad as it should be lived. And Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he led us by Quran and by his own example, Sunnah, to practice this religion and to live it in the form that it should be lived. So if any of us claim the religion and then live out of form, the Prophet's life is a witness against us. But if we live it in form, by the same token, his life is a witness for us. And we know that he will be a witness too in the judgment. My attention is called to the similar kind of expression, El Yoma. God says this day. El Yoma, this day or today. I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor on you and have chosen for you Islam to be religion, to replace all religion. That's what it means. And have chosen Islam to replace all religion. And God says that he will make Islam prevail over all religions, though the polytheists dislike it. And this is happening. It's happening because of propagation efforts. And it's happening in a very natural way. The intellect of man, with more and more exposure to universal truths, is coming closer and closer to Al-Islam and farther away from those religions that's not Al-Islam. The mind of man coming closer to Al-Islam, though the man still call himself a Jew, he still call himself a Christian, or something else, his mind is coming naturally closer and closer to Al-Islam. It's inevitable. Can't be avoided. No, it can't, because it's natural. Yes, so my attention is called to the expression, El Yoma, this day, God says. And then, following that verse, God says again, El Yoma. This time, God says, El Yoma uhilla lakum tayyibat. This day is all good things, this day are all good things made lawful. Now, we are used to hearing what God has made unlawful. But here the Quran puts emphasis on what God has made lawful. Because God has made lawful good sense. It is not good sense to make things restricted. You can't eat this. Why? Because it's taboo. So God says of the Jews, and God didn't authorize all those things that they restricted. They did that themselves. Some of us live in religion and so many things are taboo, and common sense is taboo. Yes, so God has to let us know what is lawful. So the emphasis is not on what God has made unlawful in Quran. The emphasis is on what God has made lawful. And what has he made lawful? All good things. And good sense is one of the best things we can have. And the messenger of God said, peace and the blessings be upon him, Buni al-Islam wa al-Khamsin. The religion of Islam is structured upon five essentials. We think of these essentials as Muslims and language or terms, pillars of Islam. Five pillars of Islam. They are the five essentials. The five essential structures that make up the structure of al-Islam. That structure tells us what the al-Islam should be in me. If I have this religion, then I should be practicing the essentials of this religion. I should be living the essentials of this religion. The first is shahada, or shahadatain, to witness, to give witness that there is but one Lord, one God. La ilaha illallah. There is no God except God. No God but Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad Rasulullah. And Muhammad is the messenger of God. This is the first pillar, or the first structure in the building we call al-Islam. So if I'm having this religion, then that must be in me as number one. I should have that in me. And otherwise, I don't have this religion in me. How can I have a cake in me when I don't have the ingredients of a cake in me? Say, oh, I ate cake today. But where? Did you eat the ingredients? No ingredients? You didn't have no flour? You had no sugar? No. How did you have cake in you today and you didn't have any of the ingredients? So we say, oh, I know I got Islam in me. Well, do you have the essential ingredients? La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, as-salat, do you practice prayer as Muslims pray, salat? Do you fast the month of Ramadan? Do you believe in restraining your appetite for the God's pleasure? Whether they be physical appetites or any other kind of appetite for romance, or for foolishness? Do you restrain your appetite for God's pleasure? Because that's the purpose of the fast. It's done in the ninth month of Ramadan, in the hottest month, during the old calendar. And we know that the Ramadan itself, the word is very word itself, suggests extreme heat. Some of the scholars who have studied the history of the term, they say the name comes from the habit of the people, the habit of wrapping the foot of the tender animals when they took them across the desert or in the desert during that hot month. Their feet couldn't stand that extreme heat, so they had to wrap their feet. And the name Ramadan takes its meaning from that habit of theirs, protecting the feet of the tender feet of the animal as they walk across the hot land, the hot sand. So, the purpose of it, the main purpose of it, is to control our appetite for Allah's pleasure. To make our appetites conform to what Allah asks of us in this religion. So, are you doing that? If you are, then you have that pillar in you. Unless we have these pillars in us, then we can't say we have the religion in us. Because our religion is not mere conversion. Our religion is substance. It's substance. You just can't say you feel good and be a Muslim. You can't say I got the feeling, you know, it ain't enough. You got to have also the material. And the material comes in the essentials of the religion. That's the material. And without that, everything else is immaterial. So what God says? Your lip service counts for nothing. You have to practice the religion. Prayer is so essential to us. God says, "Aqimis salat lidhikri," and establish prayer for my remembrance. And God says again in the Quran, never did a nation fall until it left off prayer. No nation have ever come to its doom before leaving off worship of God. When they became slack or corrupt in their devotions, then God let them meet their doom. And that's true for the individual. No individual will fall down in his life, will become corrupt or hopeless, give up on the good constructive life. No individual will come to that terrible end until he discredits, disregards God in revelation. in his life, he'll never come to an end like that. How important these essentials are for us. And then there's charity. Charity is one of these essentials, one of these important structures. Do we have a heart for charity? Do we enjoy spending our money for others' sake, for the sake of others, especially the immediate family, and for the needy, the destitute, the misfortunate people in our community and even outside of it? Do we have a heart to share what we got with them and enjoy it? Enjoy doing that? If we do, then that still isn't enough. For God says he needs nothing from any of his creatures. We know we do everything because we obey God, we fear God, and we want to please God. But who will be the recipient of your zakat? You think God is waiting for you to give him $2? The recipient of your zakat will be your near relatives and those that God has obligated us to help. So do we feel good doing that? Do we like that idea? If we do, then that's an evidence that that religion is in you. But if any of these things are not in you, if you don't like it, then you have not yet accepted this religion. Because this religion is essentially exactly what we're talking about now. Some of us think, oh yes, I'm a Muslim. Oh yeah, I say La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. You say it? Do you witness it? It ain't something just to be said. It's something to be witnessed. We say, Ashhadu, I witness. See, the Muslim can't even become a Muslim, can't even become a member of the community of Muslims, until he himself uses his own intelligence. To witness something, I got to use my own intelligence. I can't witness something with no intelligence. This is a decision that I have made. Ashhadu, I witness. To witness the fast month is to be present in the month. And you know there's another thing, expression called the presence of mind and the absence of mind. You can't accept this religion absent-minded. You got to accept this religion with full awareness of what you are accepting. See, this is not a religion that cheats you or fools you or enchants you. It's easy for a witch doctor to take over your mind, you know, and enchant you and have you ready to say anything. Just with a little work on you, right? After a few minutes, you're ready to say anything. You may not follow it up, but you'll say anything. After being worked on by a powerful witch doctor, whether he belongs to your denomination in his church or not, any powerful witch doctor can do it. But this is not a religion like that. It's a religion that feels that it's disrespected itself if it doesn't make an intelligent approach to the human being. This is a religion that has to be respected. And it respects the intelligence of God's creatures. The adherent to the faith, he should say, I witness, Ashhadu, that there is but one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. To witness it, I have to think about it. Now, those people of the book, those people who were Jews and Christians, of knowledge, of the book, I mean of knowledge in their religion. Those people, when they heard the message of Islam, the invitation to become Muslims, they could say, Ashhadu, I witness, because they knew what God had promised from the scriptures. They knew what God had promised regarding Muhammad the prophet, the universal messenger coming to establish religion as life, a way of life for the people. They knew of that, the liberator. They knew of him coming. So when they heard, La ilaha illallah, one God, and this Trinitarian thing, and it's a shirk, it's all wrong, those people of knowledge, they could say, I witness, yes. There are many people who are going against the essential teachings of their religion, of their holy book, right now as they did in the days of the prophet. But they're doing that because there's nothing strong enough to shock them or to prick their conscience and make them give serious thoughts to their own deviations from their own religion. In the days of the prophet, peace and blessings, the audience, Al-Islam, the Quran, was that shock. To shock them back from their bad behavior to perform to the best that God had revealed to the prophets before. Al-Islam was that shock, was that call, that alert their minds, that alerted their minds. And those people who had the knowledge in the form of paper, scrolls, revelation, whatever, they could say, Ashhadu, I witness. But those who had never been exposed to the right way and at all had never known anything else but the wrong way and had no knowledge, the Arabs had no knowledge, had no knowledge of one God and what God had required of the people through his prophets. They could not say Ashhadu until they thought about it rationally, until they used their good senses and said, this makes sense, that doesn't make sense. And after they decided that, yes, one God makes sense, Muhammad has convinced me, one God makes sense, more than one makes no sense. It doesn't go with the universal order of things. And Muhammad is obviously the bringer of this, and he was not educated by Jews, he was not educated by Christians, he's not a scholar, he was an unlearned person just like the masses, just like the common masses. And he has come to us now with this message. Yes, we bear witness that the mortal man, Muhammad, is the messenger of God. So they could testify, they could witness to something. And that's the same thing we should do today. We shouldn't just say, Holy Ghost, thank you, Jesus. No, that's not the way. Think about it. Use your good senses and think about it. And if you do, you'll be a good Muslim. Because there's nothing that complements your good senses more than the revelation Quran and the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. The Prophet has told us that this religion is structured upon five essentials. Therefore, the community must work hard to put these essentials into practice. Muslims, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. That should be on your tongue. That should be your pronouncement. La ilaha illallah, but one God, Muhammad is his messenger. And then establish prayer and perform your prayers regularly as required of Muslims. That is, at specified times. Five times daily. Fast the month of Ramadan and practice that discipline all during the year, all during your life. Rejecting what God has disallowed and only accepting what God allows and never going to the extreme and being considerate of the needs of others who suffer. That condition that we get in Ramadan and the principle should be lived the whole life. And then be charitable and desire to make Hajj and see yourself as a member of the world community. The world community of people. For God has created people. And they have become tribes or nations differing with each other after he has created them one people. We have to come back to accept that oneness in humanity, which is so beautifully demonstrated, so powerfully demonstrated by the Hajj, or in the Hajj, that we make to Mecca. Again, Allah says, وَعَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. And establish God has prescribed prayer. And he says that The effect of it is that it takes away this tendency to go to indecency, vulgar things. It acts against that. It is protection against that. And the things that are obnoxious, odious, offensive to good taste, to high standards for man, God says that it will help you, it will keep you away from such. And we know the prophet has given in a parable that if anyone would wash in a river that came by his house 5 times daily, would there be left in him impurity? And the answer from his disciples was no. So we know that it is a purifier. It will purify us. When the Muslim is in his prayer, he considers himself to be visiting God, just right in the presence of God. And the prophet has said, the peace and blessings be upon him, says the prayer for the Muslim is his ascension. You want to go to heaven? Pray right. Yes. If the prophet says the prayer is the Muslim's ascension, ascension means to go up to heaven. Then if I want to go to heaven, I should pray right. And I should pray regularly. I should put my whole self into my prayer. I should be humble. I should pray, as Allah says in the Quran, pray with a sense of obedience to God and fear of God. And another place says, and when the believers hear the name of God mentioned, they tremble. A trembling comes in on them. And I'm sure if you're a believer, you have in your prayer, while listening to or reading the Quran, the very name Allah has made a trembling go through your body. Yes. I have witnessed it many times. And I'm sure the good believers, they have witnessed that. Not when you are in your fantasy and thinking you are the whole world. But when something like death and cancer and AIDS get a hold of you or your near relatives, you know, then you get in that real close relationship. But it's a pity we have to wait until then. God doesn't want us to wait until then. He wants us to love that closeness with him all the time. And that's why the Muslim is supposed to be regularly devoted in prayer 5 times daily to God and keep up all of your duties in this religion. And have as your main objective to make a community life, to see, to realize in your life, in your area, in your town, Islamic community life. And God will be with us, and he will bless us. We pray, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا وَعَرِفْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنِكَ رَحْمَةً إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين رب العالمين نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear beloved Muslims, praise be to Allah, the creator and lord of all the world, the guardian, preserver of all the world. I bear witness that there is no God but him, and Muhammad is his messenger. We pray the peace and blessings upon Muhammad, his descendants, his companions, the righteous all, amen. Allah Most High says in the Quran that you will not attain righteousness until you spend of that that you love. Until you sin of that you love. What a great help that is to a people in any time and in any place on this earth. But for us in this time, in this critical condition that we are in terms of what the human spirit should be in these parts of the world, oh, it is such a great help if we will only get the full message of that word of God, that revelation, and then struggle hard to live it in our lives until you spend of what you love. People who are possessive for their own comfort, they are headed to hell if they're not already there. Please listen to what I'm saying. People who are possessive want to possess something. This is mine. Just for their own pleasure, they are headed to hell or already in hell. But people who want something so that they can help others. I want a better pay so my family can have more enjoyment. I want better pay, more money, more income, so my children will have a better future. So my wife will not have to be worried about these common little necessities. Oh, that's the spirit. That's the heart that Allah wants in his creatures. But those that just want it for private enrichment, personal enrichment, or just to have it for themselves so that they know I'm secured, I say again, they are headed for hell or already there. They are the most miserable creatures on this earth. And they wonder how come they can't be happy. It's impossible. It's impossible. With that condition in you, it's impossible for you to be happy. Never be happy. Your money can increase, but your unhappiness is going to increase with the money. So Allah offers us this religion because he knows what's best for us. And God says in the Quran, perhaps what you love is bad for you. And what you hate or dislike is good for you. So we should consider these things. So we will not attain righteousness. People come into religion, ask, what is the choice? The first choice we make when we join religion is that I want to be right and not wrong. Right? That's the motivation. I want to be with the right people and not with the wrong people. I want to be with the decent people and not with the corrupt people. Right? That's the first motivation. So all people in religion have that motivation. They want to be righteous. And God says you will not have that righteousness, not reach the state of righteousness, until you can spend out of what you love. Look how God puts it. We couldn't put it that way. The poet, the philosopher, doesn't have the sense to put it that way. It took God to put it that way. Until we spend out of what we love. We would say spend out of the money you got, or spend the money that you love. No, God didn't say spend the money that you love. Spend whatever you love. You love your daughter so much? Okay, share it with other people. Let other people love her too. Let her love other people too. Some of us are so possessive we don't even want our child to love somebody else. Not to mention a child, sometimes we have a dog. We don't want the dog. Hey, come back here. Yes. So God said, until you can spend out of what you love, don't be possessive. Don't want it all for yourself. Even though it be your own child. That's what God wants from us. And then the prophet says, the peace and blessings be on him. He says, you will never be a believer. You will never go into paradise, Bonnie, until you become a believer. You will never enter the paradise until you become a believer. Now we have heard in these western parts, all the church, if you've never been to church, you've heard it on the radio. I know a lot about the Christian message. You don't have to go to church. It's everywhere. And they put emphasis upon faith. You have to believe. This ain't nothing going to happen until you believe. Well, understand that this religion requires that too. First of us, that we have faith. Faith in God. Faith in his books. Faith in his messengers. faith in his angels? Who are you to sit around here and get two cents of knowledge from a college and then question these things? Not questioning it. Well, does it make sense to believe in something like that that I can't see, I can't prove, I can't verify? Well, what can you verify? Pitiful. 2 cents from college. And gone crazy. Yes, yeah, so it's required that we have faith. And the prophet said, you will not enter the paradise until you have faith. That's not all. That's not all of that thing. The rest of it is this. And he says, and you will not have faith until you have love for each other. And you will not have faith until you have love for each other. So let us have love for each other. Let us have love for each other. And let us practice love, because that's the evidence of that we have love for each other. No evidence that we have love for each other if you don't practice it. Some of us, we get so mad at our close relatives. Sometimes it's our mate. Sometimes it's a member in the household. We get so angry with them, so disgusted with them. Our hearts be hurting because of the prohibition we have placed on the relationship, right?